just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. Who am I kidding? I know how your day is going. It's a motherfucking wonderful day. It is Friday. But more than that, it's the day after Donald Trump was finally indicted by the Manhattan District Grand Jury. A lot of people have been talking about, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? A lot of people out there have said to me, it's never going to happen. Donald Trump will never be accountable. He'll never be indicted. I always told you, just wait. Just wait, it's coming. I mean, a lot of people looked at what was happening now and gauged it against history. Well, that kind of thing never happened in history. But what you have to understand is the things, the crimes that Donald Trump committed have never occurred in history either. So to compare it to what happened in the past doesn't make any sense. He took things to a level we have never seen before, so the responses are going to be at a level we have never seen before. And it's not stopping here. It's not just going to be one indictment. There are going to be more indictments. And people will say to me, well, he'll never get convicted. He'll never go to jail. He'll never be on house lockdown. Really? You want to say that? You were already wrong once. And go back to what I've said. You can say that based on history, but we've never seen anything like this in history before. So you may want to rethink that point of view. Things are going to go very wrong for Donald Trump. And it starts in the Manhattan District with Alvin Bragg. We're going to talk more about that in a minute or so. But one thing I want you to think about. A lot of people think that this indictment is going to have a number of charges, which it probably will. And a lot of people think that this is just about the Stormy Daniels thing, which it may be. But the interesting thing is we're now seeing reports that there are more than 30, maybe 34 charges. Well, if it's 34 charges, it's got to be more than the Stormy Daniels situation. But what could it be? Oh, yeah. Remember, the Trump Organization was convicted of 17 charges of fraud. 17 fraud charges. Found guilty, the Trump Organization. Alvin Bragg was the DA there, too. So you would presume that maybe some of that is going to crop up in this indictment. We don't know for sure. We don't know all that's going to be in the indictment, but we got some things to think about, and we will do that on this show. First, I want to start with some emails. Now, as you can presume, a lot of the emails have to do with the indictment, and we'll get to those in a moment, but I have at least a couple of them that came to me pre-indictment. And I have an ongoing rule here. You take the time to send me an email, I better fucking make the time to read the email because I encourage emails, more and more emails. And we got a lot with this indictment thing, but these first couple came before the indictment. So here we go. This one comes from Dewey. You know Dewey. He's been on the show a couple of times. I've been on his show a couple of times, The Dewey Show. Good guy. Good friend of mine, and he sent me an email. And I read the email, and I go, God, I'm glad it wasn't my family, because I would have gotten in trouble over this shit. But we'll tell you what happened. Dewey says, Mike, as always, love your show. I have to tell you something hilarious. Because of you, Trump-la-fuck is a common used word in our household now. I took my niece to karate, and a man walked up wearing a MAGA hat. My niece, 6 years old, said, oh, look, Uncle Deuce, there's a twop-wa-fuck. The guy assumed she was my daughter. He said, you need to teach your daughter some manners. Before I said anything, my niece said, he's my uncle, not my daddy, you dummy. He looked at me speechless. The only thing that came to mind for me to say was, sit down or I'll knock you down. And of course, he sat down. This was a clear reminder that even if it doesn't seem so, kiddos are always listening. Of course, I talked to her about not picking fights, but personally, I don't care if she cusses. I don't. I just don't. So I let her mom know, and I apologized. I said, I'm really sorry. She learned some words from me. Here's what she said. By the time I told her about Twopwafuck, she was laughing so hard I thought she'd vomit. Her mom is a Navajo woman, and she despises Donald Trump. So luckily, I didn't get in trouble, nor did my niece. Usually with those things, when you do something in my family, if I do something funny, but it's a little inappropriate, and I don't mean sexual or anything, just, you know me, you fucking listen to the show, they will laugh a little bit, and they'll admonish me. I'll go, wait a minute, you're admonishing me, but you laughed, so you're just as bad as I am. But I would definitely get in trouble. There is no way I'm going to be teaching my granddaughter any swear words. That's going to have to come from mom and dad, just like I got it. But had I inspired a young child to say Trump will fuck, I would have gotten in trouble. There is no question about it. My family doesn't cut me any slack at all. And Dewey, I apologize if I had any kind of influence on her, but she didn't hear it from me. Clearly, she heard it from you. So it's on you. Part two, what happened to Republicans like John McCain? Because prior to Donald Trump, I remember a few that thought and spoke like John did. Now, I don't agree with 98% of what John McCain said. However, I wrote him a letter because he was standing up and saying that Donald Trump was wrong. He wrote me back, and we both found out that we have a lot more in common than we thought. We both love horses. We both like to write letters. In fact, he became a pen pal of mine. I have 18 letters from him. But if something happened under Donald Trump that Senator McCain did not agree with, he would be very vocal. He had brass ones. Nowadays, Republicans have pea-sized nuts. They are fucking pussies. They suck the tit of Donald Trump. Even though Donald is hemorrhaging cult members daily, sorry for that image, but do you think we will ever go back to that? Also, I'm throwing my hat in for that listener thing you mentioned. Have a good day. What Dewey's talking about is a suggestion that a former guest, Kara, made. And Kara is losing her shit right now. I've gotten some DMs from her and some comments and posts, and she's excited as hell about Donald Trump getting an indictment. And I'm with you, girl. I may not be as ebullient as you are, but I'm just as fucking happy. I'll guarantee you that. Do you think we'll ever go back to that? I think what happened the last 4 to 6 years have changed everything. I don't think we'll go back to the way we were, but I don't think that's bad because I think the way we were wasn't all that great. All this racism and all this violent attitudes were always there. They were just tucked under rocks. So it wasn't really better. We didn't see it as much, but it wasn't better. Hopefully this process, as painful as it's been, will put us in a better place, but it will be totally different. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's what I really believe. It ends up by saying, thank you, sincerely, Dewey. Well, thank you, Dewey, for taking the time to write the letter. All right, I brought up Kara in the first letter, and now the second letter is from her. She starts out by saying, hello, my friend. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass when I say your podcast has found a place in my daily routine. I'm, as most people are, completely exhausted by the inherent instability of extreme politics. The last time I felt relatively safe from government overreach and civic ignorance was the moment before Sean fucking Spicer stood in front of the world to insist Trump's inaugural crowd was the biggest in history, or something to that effect. As I have mentioned, I was very naive. Right then I knew, here comes the circus. I took for granted a president who wasn't a 24/7 stream of piss and vinegar. See what I said about ebullient? Jesus fucking Christ, this guy, you know, I completely believe Mary Trump when she spoke about her toxic uncle. She claims Fred Trump, a superior example of dog shit himself, didn't want anything to do with Dumpy Donnie. He wanted his elder son, Fred Jr., to follow in his footsteps. Mary Trump says that her father didn't want anything to do with the business, or his dad for that matter. Fred Jr. wanted to be an airline pilot. I love the imagery here. Jr. not only has no business interest with his corrupt father, but he flies away from him. Enter Dumpy Donnie, Dad's second choice. He says his big brother get completely disowned and thinks, oh, I have a chance to shine now. Why am I talking about this? Well, there's a lot of people who are trying to understand the behavior of Trump, more so lately because he's repeating the same insightful bullshit and lies over and over again. My favorite line from Dumpy Donnie's rally in Waco, Texas was, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, and that's why I'm standing here today. I'm standing before you because we're going to finish what we started. We're going to complete the mission. No, no, they're definitely coming after you, Donnie. And frankly, I hope the FBI is monitoring you and your entire wheelhouse, including your fascist fans. I don't believe in citizens policing fellow citizens, but your base has a lot of domestic terrorists in it. Oh my God, Mike, I'm sorry this email got a bit long and bitchy, LOL. In short, people shouldn't try to figure out why Trump is the way he is. Ask why some people have an appetite for the toxic turd casserole she serves them. What fucking beverage does he pair with that, LOL? Okay, I better get moving. Have an awesome day sightseeing. I was in Georgia yesterday. You're kind of like a big brother I never had. Sucks to be you, JK, JK. Until next time, kind regards, Kara. Well, thank you, Kara. I told you. She's, you know what she reminds me of? She's kind of like my granddaughter. Granted, she's older than that, and she's an adult. But my granddaughter is one of those people that's got this happy demeanor, this light demeanor, but will get in your face at a moment's notice. I've told my son that I'm going to have my wife make a shirt for my granddaughter. And the shirt will say, my wife has one of those Cricut things where you can make letters and stuff. Real crafty shit I don't know anything about, but she's really good at it. I said, we need to make a t-shirt, and all it says on it is a lot. And then underneath it in tiny letters, just to even it out, say, to love. But that little girl is a lot. And Kara, you're a lot. But I love it, man. It was great having you on the show. And I love somebody who can speak out, speak their mind. There is nothing I love more than when people are saying what they believe and have no qualms about it, telling the truth as they know it. And that's what Kara does. So I appreciate her coming on the show. And Kara, I appreciate the email. To be honest with you, I appreciate all the emails. I'm impressed that I get the emails, and then when I read the content, I'm impressed with the intelligence and ability to communicate by all of you. Next one comes from Deb. It starts out, oh, my Lanta. It finally happened. Now that the first indictment is out of the way, I'm anxiously awaiting the domino effect. But once they happen, then what? I think we need to remind ourselves this is going to take forever. Trump will fight all these indictments tooth and nail. He will drag it out as long as humanly possible. So to say the next year or so will be less than fruitful for us is an understatement. I'm guilty of thinking these things should be like it is on Law and Order, but we all know that is not the case. I guess I just wanted to remind everyone, be patient. This will take quite a while. Just don't lose faith. On another note, what the fuck is up with DeSantis saying Florida would not turn Trump over for charges? This little troll is really more dangerous than I thought. First, why would he be on Trump's side? And two, the possible violence this could stir up is frightening. Is he seriously willing to start a civil war over Trump? I find it hard to believe he has the power, but his tweet today was kind of scary. This little man needs to be stopped. As always, you continue to make my days begin right with your podcast. Keep it up, and I will keep listening. You're still my calming force. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate that. And in terms of how long it's going to take for these trials and all this other stuff, yes, it's going to take forever. But here's been my attitude about this. I'm not even worried about the trials yet. I think in situations like this, or anytime we have situations that are important to us, you got to take things step by step. You got to see what you're going to get out of the first step first before you worry about the conviction. Any conviction of Donald Trump's going to take a long time. That goes without saying. We know how hard it is to get people to fucking testify, so that shouldn't be surprising to you. But I'm not worried about the trials, and I'm not worried about the convictions. What I want to see is many indictments as possible issued. Because you see, while that won't bring us immediate justice, it will bury Donald Trump. It will take Donald Trump out of the game. You understand, if you have 3 or 4 or 5 indictments hanging over your head, not to mention a bunch of lawsuits like the E. Jean Carroll one coming next month, or this month, actually, in April. The thing is there's going to be so much falling on top of his head, he'll be taken out of the equation. He won't have the time, the money, or the emotional state to deal with anything. This first volley of indictments is going to be enough to take him out of it. Then he can just wallow around and waiting for his trials and ultimate convictions and whatever his penalty is. I'm not worried about the convictions coming tomorrow. I'm worried about him being buried and taken out of the game. That's the first step, and that's what we should be worried about now. We have a lot of people that came up to me and says, oh, you'll never be indicted. Well, he wasn't fucking indicted, just like I told you. And again, it has nothing to do with my ability as a psychic or because I'm extra smart. It's not. It's the fact that there was only one way this could go. People look, as I've said, people look at what's going on here and they look at history and they say, well, it's never happened before. All these guys get off all the time. So they're going to get off this time. But what you fail to understand is what happened in the past is nothing like what's happening now. You talk about Richard Nixon, and he got pardoned and stuff. And yes, he committed crimes, but nowhere near the crimes that Donald Trump committed and all the people around Donald Trump. See, what's happening now, what's been happening for the last 6 years has been much bigger, much more egregious, and much more blatant than Richard Nixon ever hoped to commit. So if things are far different from our past history, how then can you compare it to past history? You can't. Fact of the matter is, if things are this big now, you can only assume that the results and the responses will be bigger than we've seen in history. And it started yesterday. The first time a former president has ever been indicted in this country. So just be patient. Let's take it step by step. Let's knock Donald Trump down to the ground, take him out of the narrative, and we can sit back and try to rebuild this country while that fucker is wallowing in his own pain and pity. I'll be happy with that for the moment. We can't wait to heal this country until after Donald Trump is punished. It's going to take too long, and we got too much to do, so we need to fucking get to do it now. Let's knock him on his ass, take him out of the game, and focus on fixing what we've got here. And the way we do that is by indicting the people that need to be indicted. And we're not just talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about all his little cronies and his administration. We're talking about all the people around him, his little minions, like Ginny Thomas, like Roger Stone, like Michael Flynn. Those people all need to go down. It does two things. It takes them out of the mix, and it sends a warning to those people who may want to try it again. So let's take it step by step. Don't worry about the end game. Let's worry about getting the first volley in and doing what it's supposed to do. All right, the next one comes from Dennis. He says, hey, Mike, I thought of you before anyone else when the news came out of Trump's indictment today. Well, looks like I owe you a Coke. Yes, you do, Dennis. What a beautiful day it is to be an American. And if you're wondering, yes, I immediately went to the store and got a celebration ribeye steaks. I hope you have a big fat steak in front of you tonight. Wow, what a beautiful day. I would like to publicly give you a friendly apology. Ha ha, you're the man, Mike. Keep doing what you're doing. It's only going to get better from here on out. Dennis, well, in terms of dinner, when I found out about Donald Trump being indicted, we had just flown in from Orlando. Got a story about that I need to tell you, too. Flew in from Orlando. We were coming home, and we were hungry, man. And I don't go to many fast food places, but there's one I will always go to because I love it. It's a place called Culver's. You may or may not have it in your area, but it came out of Wisconsin originally. But in spite of that, it's really good. Probably the best fast food hamburgers you'll find. So, Dennis, while you're sitting there eating a ribeye, I was eating a Culver's Butterburger double cheese with fries. And you know what? The shit was good. And as I'm sitting there, I get a text from my brother, and he shows me this notification that Donald Trump was indicted. And I go, what? I sent a note back. I said, is this real? Did this really happen? He goes, it just came out today. So I look at my wife. I say, eat fast. We got to get home because I got to make some TikToks. And that's exactly what we did. So my celebration wasn't quite as luxurious as yours, Dennis, but I enjoyed it just as much. Next one comes from Michael. He says, dude, Trump has been indicted. I'm having a bourbon celebration. The chef's kiss at this point is if a certain Russian pants shitter or Saudi prince of bone saws decided to send a celebratory party out and an obese orange fuck-up accidentally fell off a hotel balcony before being processed. There would be a wee bit of silence from a group of U.S. congressmen that spent July 4th at the Kremlin a year ago. You know, that's the funny thing. We keep hearing about, oh, you indict Donald Trump. There'll be destruction and death to catastrophic levels. There's going to be a civil war. Well, it's going to be interesting today to see how people react to this whole thing. I've said you're not going to see large crowds of Trump-a-fuck attack anything. They know they're going to be in big trouble if they try that. They're going to get a lot more pushback than they got on January 6, 2021. They don't have Donald Trump in the White House to protect them. And there could very well be a lot more fucking Ashley Babbitt. So I don't think we'll see that. We might see some crazy fucks. But I'll be honest, as I'm watching TikTok and the news, it doesn't give me the vibe of a civil war. It's more the vibe of a nationwide block party, you know? Who's bringing the potato salad? Seems like people are pretty excited. It's like that, what was it, David Bowie and Mick Jagger song, Dancing in the Streets? Yeah, there may be people in the streets, but they are going to be happy and hugging and dancing and having fun. Never have I seen so many people absolutely excited about somebody getting indicted. But that just tells you who Donald Trump is and the impact he's had on this country. All right, the next email. Who's that come from? Got to go down to the bottom. Okay, this one comes from Eric. We've heard from Eric a number of times. We'll see what the fuck is on his mind. Hi, Mike. The dominoes are starting to fall. Couldn't believe the news that Trump is indicted as muscles in nursing. He's a guy on TikTok. I follow him. He's a smart dude. He's got a good account. As muscles and nursing would say, I love this for him. I tell you what, as much as people have taken on Trump the fuck, a lot of people have taken this from muscles and nursing. I hear about it a lot now these days. This past week, my father had a major health problem without going into detail. He is doing much better now. His health issues made me start thinking about how our healthcare system in this country is working. It's completely broken. Even while in the hospital, struggling to get better, he was worried about the cost of everything. A small example, he sent me to the grocery store to buy a box of facial tissues because he didn't want to pay their prices for them. We really need to overhaul health care and go to a single payer system with medical, dental, vision, and chiropractic all covered. I saw today that a federal judge in Texas ruled that insurance companies don't have to cover certain preventative procedures at no cost. I'm guessing that will be overturned on appeal, as he always previously ruled that other procedures did have to be covered. Also, I know I'm late talking about this, but I saw some of the clips from the Republican committee hearing on TikTok. I wondered if the Republicans that sounded so dumb about how the internet and apps work weren't putting on a show, trying to scare older boomers who aren't so familiar with technology. No, I think they were actually that stupid. Trying to scare older boomers who aren't familiar with technology. Well, there's a lot of boomers that aren't. But as I say, I think they are just that dumb. They are some of those same doomers, boomers of which you speak. My parents fall into that category. They refuse to order anything online, like you said, worried that they could get their credit card or banking information stolen. However, they have no problem mailing a check inside a regular, simple envelope all the time, with the only real security being faith whoever handles that envelope will do the right thing. After seeing Josh Hawley's bill, I realized it is about far more. Certain politicians want the government to have complete control of the internet and anything connected to it. I don't think it will actually pass. This could be the thing that costs Democrats in the election in 24. I've seen creators on TikTok already saying that if TikTok goes away, that millennials and Gen Zs will organize, crowdfund candidates, and try to primary every politician out that supported the ban. I'll be honest with you. I think politicians are already getting the message at this point. Again, you know, you've got TikTok, you've got 150 million Americans, not worldwide, Americans on TikTok, either creating or just watching. And that is significant. When you look at a total population of this country of 330 million people, thereabouts, 150 million people represents 46% of the country. And as I've said before, and I'll say again 100 times if I have to, the idea of trying to take down the app TikTok that's been so popular with American folks would be stupid, in akin to overturning Roe v. Wade and thinking by taking constitutional rights away from 50% of this country that that's somehow going to get you votes. You would have to assume that Democrats are a little smarter than that. Republicans clearly aren't, but Democrats must be. I really don't think the app is going to get taken down. This is more to pressure them to get some kind of leverage on the app. I think you're absolutely right. It's all about power. They don't like 150 million people getting together and talking about what's happening in this country and across the world totally unbridled. Well, fuck you. It's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. And even if you shut down the app, there are other apps, and there'll be new apps, and there'll be better apps. Every app has a shelf life. TikTok will go on for a while. It's very popular. It's very powerful. But at some point, TikTok will become antiquated, and they will move on to something else. That's the thing. The politicians can't keep up with the technology because they are, in fact, stupid. They don't know about technology. They're too worried about grifting money. So I'm not real worried about it, Eric. But we do have to stick together. We do have to push back about the app, TikTok, and every fucking thing else. That's the one thing we haven't done in my lifetime. We've always been apathetic. We need to stand up, speak out, push back, and never stop speaking or pushing. If we want what we want and what we deserve in this country, we have to push it. We have to force it. We have to fucking take it. And hopefully that mindset is something we carry in our minds till the ends of our life, because we can never stop. The moment there's an opportunity to take advantage of us, Democrat or Republican, trust, they will fucking do it. So if we've learned anything in these last 6 years, we've learned we need to stand up, we've learned that we got to fight, and we've learned that we've got to keep fighting. You really can't trust anybody in this world that happens to be in politics. Eric finishes up by saying, I apologize for the long email, but with everything else going on, I didn't have as much time to focus on writing in. If we can get that schedule to work, I'd like to also throw my name in the hat for the multiple guest show. Again, that's something Kara suggested, and I think it's a brilliant idea. About having 2, 3, 4 listeners on the show at the same time. And as I said, I'm all for it. Because if I have one listener on, I only have to do half as much work. If I have 4 listeners on, I only have to do 20% as much work. And you know me, I'm all about doing less work. As always, thanks for everything you do, Eric. Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate it immensely. Now, we can actually get to the news stories that we've been talking about that all the people have been emailing about. Former President Donald Trump, already under multiple criminal investigations for his coup attempt, has been indicted by the Manhattan grand jury for his role in the $130,000 hush money payment to a porn star in the days before the 2016 election. See, that's what people think. That's what we all led to believe, that this is all about Stormy Daniels. But is it? The New York Times was the first to report on the still-sealed indictment on Thursday. Trump, in a statement filled with his trademark random capitalizations, called District Attorney Alvin Bragg a disgrace who was funded by George Soros, and again called the indictment part of a supposed witch hunt that the government officials at multiple levels have conducted against him over several years. Well, first and foremost, he's not funded by George Soros. They really hate George Soros, don't they? He's a billionaire. You would think he would love billionaires. But George happens to be Jewish and liberal, so he is the enemy. Bragg's office on Thursday evening released a statement saying that an arraignment date has not yet been set. Check that. It apparently has been set for Tuesday of next week. They said, this evening we contacted Mr. Trump's attorneys to coordinate his surrender to the Manhattan DA's office for arraignment on a Supreme Court indictment which remains under seal. The statement said, referring to the trial-level court in New York State, guidance will be provided when the arraignment date is selected. See, a lot of the things we're getting isn't so much actual public statements. We're getting a lot of leaks, but it's being verified. Apparent Joe Tappaccino, or whatever the fuck his name is, Donald Trump's lawyer, is the one who leaked out that he is getting indicted. And as we hear more and more about this, we get more and more information. Now, though it's certain that the Trump's hush money payment is referenced in the indictment based on a grand jury appearances by former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen and others, it's kind of unclear whether the indictment pertains only to that episode or the business dealings as well. CNN reported Thursday night that the total of 34 counts are included in the indictment, suggesting four instances of alleged business fraud may be included. If this was just about Stormy Daniels, there wouldn't be 34 charges potentially in this thing. It would have to include something else, and the only thing it could include would be those fraud charges that they were looking into with Donald Trump. You remember the previous trial where the Trump organization was convicted of 17 counts of fraud. Now, with those 17 counts of fraud, you have to think that Donald Trump had his hands all over it. Donald Trump's organization, while allegedly a lot of money involved, was a small organization. There weren't hundreds of people that ran the organization. There were a few, like Donald Trump, Don Jr., Eric, maybe Ivanka. Then there was CFO Alan Weisselberg. Now, Alan Weisselberg is an interesting part of the story. You remember that Alan Weisselberg was convicted of fraud with the Trump organization. And he was given a deal on time he would spend in jail, 5 months to be exact, at Rikers Island, which is no fucking picnic, if he testified. Now, Alan Weisselberg said, yeah, I'll testify against the corporation, but not Donald Trump because I'm a loyal motherfucker. Well, it's hard to testify against the Trump organization without testifying against Donald Trump because they're almost one and the same. So Alan Weisselberg was really talking semantics here. He knew he was telling on Donald Trump. So Alan Weisselberg goes to jail to serve his five-month tour. He's maybe a month and a half, 2 months into it right now. 75-year-old man who's used to living in the laps of luxury is now in a cell in Rikers Island. That's got to be taking its toll. That's got to be worrisome for Weisselberg. Anyway, his lawyer, Alan Weisselberg, sitting in jail, And what do? They come up and they say, Ellen, how's your stay in Rikers Island? I hope you don't think it's over with after these 5 months or whenever the fuck you get out of jail. Because Donald Trump's in trouble for these hush payments. And you, since you were the CFO and it involved money, clearly it went through you too. So guess what? You're going to be on trial again. And you might get longer time in Rikers Island. Well, that's not something Alan Weisselberg was planning on. He thought he could stick loyal. But after being in Rikers Island for a little bit, not really liking it, I'm sure it's not a pleasant experience, he decided he may have to roll over on Donald Trump once and for all, no longer be loyal to Donald Trump. Now, you're probably saying, how do you know he rolled on Donald Trump? Well, it's very easy. Remember Cassidy Hutchinson, that attractive young lady who spoke out about Donald Trump, essentially threw Donald Trump under the bus? You remember she had to do something. At first, when she was going to court and testifying and that sort of thing, Donald Trump and his lackeys said, listen, we'll get you the lawyers. Don't worry about paying for lawyers. We got you covered. So she took the lawyers because she's young, didn't have any money, didn't know what the fuck was going on. This young 26-year-old girl was thrown in the middle of something she knew nothing of or didn't know enough, and she found herself in a tight spot. And the tight spot was having Donald Trump's paid lawyers representing her. Because then there would be some kind of quid pro quo that would be unofficially expected. Meaning, if Donald Trump is paying for the lawyers, then she's got to do Donald Trump's bidding. Well, she got into this and she quickly realized that if she has to do Donald Trump's bidding, she would have to lie, which would put her in more trouble. And she said, fuck that. And she fired Donald Trump's lawyers and got independent lawyers, even though it was expensive. Somebody helped her out and paid for it because she needed the help. So she fired Donald Trump's lawyers to get out from underneath Donald Trump and all his fucking lackeys. So what does that have to do with Alan Weisselberg? Guess what Alan Weisselberg just did? He fired all of Donald Trump's attorneys and got his own. So if it's anything like Cassidy Hutchinson, Alan Weisselberg felt the pressure and this time couldn't stick to his loyalty. He saw the writing on the wall, figured he may end up spending more time in Rikers Island, and how much time can a 75-year-old rich guy spend in Rikers Island and expect to be comfortable and safe? Well, not much longer. I'll bet, in fact, if he rolled on Donald Trump, they may even cut his sentence currently in Rikers. So that's what he did. He fired Donald Trump's lawyers. Now he's out from under Donald Trump, and that loyalty is no more. And then a short time after that, the indictments pop. It isn't hard to figure out what exactly happened in this situation. I think the final straw was Alan Weisselberg, and here we are, sitting with a fucking indictment. Oh, so beautiful, isn't it? All right, we are going to take a break, and we will be right back. All right, this next part refers to a comment that one of the previous emailers stated. And a good question was offered up. So let's talk about that for a moment. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican who is expected to declare his presidential candidacy later this spring, joined in the chorus of pro-Trump Republicans attacking Bragg and said he would not help the state of New York arrest Trump should he refuse to turn himself in for the arraignment. Trump spends his winters at Mar-a-Lago Country Club in Palm Beach, Florida, though he typically moves to his golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey, an hour's drive west of Manhattan shortly after Easter. Florida will not assist in an extradition request given the questionable circumstances at issue with this Soros-backed Manhattan prosecutor and his political agenda, DeSantis wrote Thursday from his official government Twitter account. Taylor Butowich, a former Trump aide and now the head of a pro-Trump super PAC, claimed in a Twitter post that the indictment is evidence of a failed nation and predicted it would actually help Trump. Of course he did. It's not going to help Trump. I don't care what they say. This is just how these fucks talk. The political elites and power brokers have weaponized government to try to stop him. They will fail. He will be reelected in the greatest landslide in American history. Yeah, right. Trump, who's running again for the Republican nomination for the presidency, has in recent days ramped up his appeals to supporters to rise up against prosecutors in New York and elsewhere, reminiscent of his inflammatory language leading up to the January 6, 2021 assault on the U.S. Capitol by a mob of his followers. Now, the question is, why would Ron DeSantis do this? Well, Ron DeSantis would do this for the very same reason Donald Trump does the things he does, because, well, he's a pussy-ass bitch, as Chrissy Teigen once said of Donald Trump. Now, here's the thing. Ron DeSantis sees himself going head-to-head with Donald Trump, even though he hasn't announced for the presidency as yet. But at this point, he's very concerned about the MAGA fucks. He needs to keep them in line and hopefully take them on as voters when Donald Trump ultimately fails. Make no mistake, Ron DeSantis and the vast majority of the Republicans want Donald Trump done and gone and maybe even in jail, because he's nothing but an anchor on their efforts these days. Take a look at the 2018 election, the 2020 election, and the 2022 election. All of those elections have been dragged down by none other than Donnie Trump. But where people like Ron DeSantis make a mistake, it's not just Donald Trump, it's his policies too. But somehow they think, well, I'll just take his policies and maybe I'll have as much success as Donald Trump. Well, maybe you will, but he hasn't had much success recently. You're pinning on all your hopes on what happened in 2016 and forgetting about 18, 20, and 22. Well, that's a mistake you're going to fucking make. Now, in terms of not helping with an extradition, well, by the Constitution, he is required to do it. He may talk like that. He may even try to do that. But ultimately, Donald Trump will be dragged out of his little orange ears and dragged into court into New York. But Donald Trump's not going to have to be dragged out of Florida. That is why Ron DeSantis is feeling so brave and saying, we'll not help the extradition. Because he knows there's not going to be any forced extradition from Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump lives for the attention. He knows he's in a tough spot, so he wants this to be a circus up north. He wants all his people fighting for him, and he wants to be in the thick of it, just like he did during January 6th, but they wouldn't let him do it. Ron DeSantis is saying, we won't help with the extradition, because he knows he's not going to have to fucking do it. Donald Trump is going to go there. He is going to go there. There is no question. And this brings up a story that happened to me just yesterday, as a matter of fact, giving an idea of the kind of people you're dealing with in Florida. Now, I always feel guilty about talking shit about Florida, because I know we have listeners down there. I've been to many locations in Florida, and I love them. It's absolutely beautiful. But I'm so appalled by their leadership and how some of these fucks act down there. Now, as you know, I went to Georgia with my wife, as we have wont to do from time to time. And this time of year, my wife's airline that she works with doesn't fly directly into Savannah. We go, oh, fuck, what are we going to do now? Just not go to Savannah for 3 months or 4 months? We said, hell no. The closest place at first was Jacksonville. We flew into Jacksonville, drove 2 hours, headed to Savannah. It was cool. Well, then the Jacksonville flight stopped, and now the only other option was Orlando. And from Orlando, it's about a four-hour drive to Savannah. Still not a bad deal, and it worked out all right. So, anyway, we went to Savannah, had a great time. I think as Andy Griffith once said, we had a day. No, but it was fun. We enjoy Savannah. The culture, the history, the food, all the people. The fucking people are awesome. I tell you, no matter where I went, people were nice as hell. They always are. And that's why I love Savannah so much. Anyway, so yesterday morning at about 5 in the morning, we have to get up, drive to Orlando, drop off the car, get to the airport, and fly out by 1:15 to get back here probably about 4 or 5, which we did. We've done it before, so we know it can be done. It wasn't a big deal. So we're driving down to Orlando. We're running low on gas. We fill up the tank. But by the time we get down to where we have to drop the car off, some hotel near the airport, we have to top it off to make sure we leave it with a full tank, as you're told to do. Okay. So anyway, we try to find a gas station. It was called a Suncoast or Sun gas station. It's a chain down there, I guess. And we pull up, and we're going to top off the tank. And as I get out to fill up the tank, I look at the price, and I'm going, what the fuck? It was $5.69. I said, well, that's crazy. Everywhere we've gone, it's been like about $3.20, $3.40, $3.50, in that range. If it had been $4, I could see it. But $5.69? Well, at this point, we would just want to get to the airport and get the fuck out of Florida, because I'm not feeling comfortable there. The class of people I'm meeting in Orlando worry me to a certain extent. And if you live in Orlando and you listen to the show, I'm not talking about you. But if you live in Orlando, you know who I'm fucking talking about. So anyway, we go to this gas station. It's $5.69. Now, it's not my intention to be mad about this. I'm just glad to be getting the fuck out of there. So I put the gas in the tank, and I walk in to the gas station to pay for it. And the interesting thing is, I'm curious here. Why $5.69, $5.70 here, and every place else is $3.50? I'm trying to figure that out. And just totally out of curiosity, I walk up to this guy behind the counter, and you can imagine what this guy was like. He's about 5'2", very round, very bald, red face, and clearly has an attitude. Now, he didn't tell me he was a Trumplefuck, but if he wasn't, I don't know Trumplefucks. And trust me, I do know Trumplefucks. But I don't say anything mean. I'm not aggressive about it. I walk up and I say, you know, I'm just curious. I've been to other gas stations in Florida, but here it's $5.69. What's the deal? And he looks at me with this attitude. You ever see the old men that are always angry about something? I don't know what the fuck their deal is, but they're always angry. He looks at me and he goes, incorrect. And I go, what? He says, you're incorrect. And immediately I realize, this guy thinks he's going to intimidate me, be the tough guy, this 5'2" round piece of shit. And he thinks he's smarter than me. So I'm kind of smirking. I look at my wife, and she says, go ahead, I'm going to the car, because she knows what's coming here. And I'm not going to yell at this guy, but I'm probably going to embarrass him, as I'm wont to do. So I said, I'm incorrect how? And he says, well, the guy across the street's charging this much, that guy's charging this much. And I said, I don't mean in the immediate area here. I said, I was in Jacksonville and other places in Florida, and it was $3.50, and now here it's $5.69. And again, he says, incorrect, like he's taking me to task. And I said, first off, it's not incorrect, because I went to those gas stations and I purchased them. And you know what? I even have fucking receipts. So I'm just asking a simple question. What is special about the gas here? And he just looks at me and he's getting angrier and angrier. And I'm getting more filled with joy, because I love pissing people off, especially when they're dipshits. And so I said, is it because you were near Disney or the airport? And he says, no, we're 30 miles away from Disney. I go, what's the deal then? Why $5.69? I said, is your gas, do you purchase your gas? Is it costs more when you buy it than everybody else? And he says, no. I go, well, what the fuck is going on here then? Why? What's the deal? And he just starts babbling and stuff. I said, let me ask you this. Are you just charging this much money because you can get away with it? Is it just because you can get away with it? And he looks at me, trying to be smart, and he says, it's about supply and demand. I said, oh, really? So you're telling me that it's harder for you to get gas than everybody else. He says, no, we can get gas just like anybody else. I said, well, then clearly you don't understand the idea of what supply and demand is. If you have high demand and low supply, that's when the prices go up. But you're telling me you have plenty of supply and apparently some demand, and you just feel like fucking charging more. No real reason for it. I said, dare I say, you sound like you're gouging here. And of course, he gets angry with me. He says, we're not gouging. We're doing business. We're in business to make money, and we can make as much money as we want. I said, yeah, okay. I said, do you worry much about inflation? And he says, inflation? Yeah, our government put us in this inflationary thing, and that's why we have these problems. I said, no, wait a minute. Again, you probably don't understand how inflation works. I say, you know where 30 to 40% of the inflation comes from? He says, from the government. I said, no, not from the government. It's fucks like you that decide they want to gouge people and steal their money by charging exorbitant amounts for their products. That's what's responsible for fucking inflation. And he looked at me like I didn't know what I was talking about. And of course, he didn't know what I was talking about. That was really the issue. And then he started getting angrier yet. And so he tried to say, well, no, it's the government, it's Biden. I said, oh, I knew you were a Trump the fuck. And I said that to him. And he looked at me like, how dare you say that to me? And I'm thinking to myself, what's this 5'2" round motherfucker going to do to me? Granted, I'm not in my own territory, but I'm not worried about this guy. And I'm annoyed that he thinks I'm stupid and he thinks he's smarter than me. Clearly, that's not the case. So I push him a little bit longer. I put some money down on the table. I said, you accept that? He said, cash? Of course I accept it. I said, no, well, it's American money. It's not Confederate money. I would assume you'd want Confederate money. And then he starts spitting and sputtering. I said, you know what? I got to go. I got to catch an airplane. But it was pleasant talking to you. And I walked the fuck out. I get in the car. My wife looks at me and goes, what did you do? I said, I just set a man straight who obviously wasn't clear about what was going on in the world. And now he knows. I did my good deed for the day, so fuck him. And that's my last image of Florida. As I left and went to the airport, got on a fucking plane and came back to 25 degree weather and an impending snowstorm coming our way. But you know what? I'd rather be here than in Orlando at this point. And again, for the Florida residents that listen to this podcast, I apologize, but you live there, so I know you get it. All right, we're going to talk about something here I talked about earlier, and I think it's worth talking about again. Now, in this indictment, we are now hearing bits and pieces of things around it. And I don't know how much we're going to actually hear before next Tuesday when Donald Trump is set to be arraigned. Now, keep in mind, when he gets arraigned, he's going to get fingerprinted and there's going to be a mugshot. Can't wait to see that mugshot. I've got the perfect spot for it in my home, right above the toilet in my bathroom. That would be the perfect spot to have Donald Trump's fucking mugshot. Now, people are coming to me on my post and saying, well, New York doesn't release the mugshots. Well, maybe so. But you know how much money is in that mugshot? What do you think the odds are if the Manhattan District doesn't release a mugshot? How likely do you think it's going to leak out? Oh, yeah, it's going to fucking get out there. There is no question about it. So anyway, Trump faces more than 30 counts related to this indictment. 34 counts, actually. And they can't all be Stormy Daniels. So what else could it be? And again, as I told you, the Manhattan District prosecuted Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, found 17 cases of fraud of which they were convicted. And because Donald Trump is hands-on everything there, it would only be presumptuous that he was involved in some of that fraud. You know he was involved in some of that fraud. The interesting thing is, Alvin Bragg, when he took over the duties as DA, it sounded like he was backing off of Donald Trump. But then all of a sudden, he got interested in it again, and we heard that he was looking into that as well. Well, I guess once you've got 17 convictions of fraud with the Trump Organization, maybe you get a little cocky. Maybe you get a little bit of confidence, and then you get this Stormy Daniels thing, and you get some confidence too. So presumably, when this indictment comes out and when we find out exactly what he's being charged with, of course there'll be Stormy Daniels and that whole hush money situation. But it really seems like there's going to be some fraud cases coming up too, which is going to turn this indictment into a much bigger deal for Donald Trump. He's going to get convicted of the Stormy Daniels thing. There's no question about that. His fixer, Michael Cohen, got convicted of it. And in that case, he was an unindicted co-conspirator. If he's a co-conspirator, then he's fucking guilty of the very same crime. So he'll get convicted of that. But if there are some fraud charges in there, that's going to be interesting. I mean, the charges he might get on the Stormy Daniels thing, there was talk that it might be just misdemeanors or somehow they'd try to find a felony. Well, you won't have to go very far to find a felony if there are also some business fraud charges. And I have a feeling that's the way it's going to go. Now, Trump is expected to appear in court Tuesday for his arraignment. That's coming from CNN. They've got the inside track somehow. Trump released a defiant statement calling it political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history. Well, of course he fucking did. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has been investigating Trump in connection with the hush money payment. But also, as I said, they're also investigating the business fraud committed within the Trump Organization, of which there were 17 convictions of business fraud for the Trump Organization. It's natural that it would bleed over into Donald Trump directly. Now, Donald Trump obviously went to Truth Social. He's shitting himself, and he's made some interesting statements. One statement he said was, "These thugs and radical left monsters have just indicated the 45th president of the United States of America." Now, that wasn't a slip of the tongue. That's what he wrote. "The radical left monsters have just indicated the 45th president of the United States." Now, this tells us one of two things. Either he doesn't know how to spell, and clearly that's been proven, or he doesn't even know what the fuck is happening here. He thinks an indictment is the fact that he's been indicated. This just shows how stupid Donald Trump is and all the people around him fucking are. But he's also a little mean about it, too. He went on to say this. "This is an attack on our country, the likes of which has never been seen before." We've heard that many times before. "It is likewise a continuing attack on our once free and fair elections. The USA is now a third world nation, a nation in serious decline." So sad. So we're a third world nation now. I'm guessing Donald Trump doesn't know what the fuck a third world nation actually is. But expect to see more of this shit. Trump also released a more even-keeled statement minutes prior, calling the development political persecution, as I said. That was clearly probably written by one of his lackeys. He went on to say the Democrats have lied, cheated, and stolen in their obsession with trying to get Trump. But now they've done the unthinkable, indicting a completely innocent person in an act of blatant election interference, his statement read. It concludes, "I believe this witch hunt," again, something we've heard a number of times, "will backfire massively on President Joe Biden. The American people realize exactly what the radical left Democrats are doing here." Really? Because I see a lot of people celebrating right now, eating ribeye steaks, drinking bourbon, dancing in the streets, whatever the fuck they want to do. I don't see the vast majority of the people being upset about this. I think they're quite joyous. "Everyone can see it, so our movement and our party united and strong." Yeah, is it? Is it? It took 15 times to elect a Republican Speaker of the House. Is it really united? It's fucking hilarious. They will do one thing and tell you another. We'll first defeat Alvin Bragg, and then we'll defeat Joe Biden, and we are going to throw every last one of these crooked Democrats out of office so we can make America great again. When was America great? Certainly not during the Trump administration. We had economic problems. We had a pandemic that nobody bothered to do anything with. Are you talking to going back about the time when Obama was in office, when the economy was going up and the stock market was strong, just before Donald Trump came in? I don't know what he's talking about, but he's just babbling, and the babbling is going to get worse as time goes on. Prosecutors in New York had been investigating Trump and his business dealings for several years when Bragg breathed new life into the probe earlier this year. In his statement, Trump reiterated his claim that Bragg was handpicked and funded by George Soros, a billionaire donor to progressive causes who has emerged as a Republican boogeyman and target of extremist conspiracy theories. Soros and Bragg are only loosely tied by the way of a civil rights nonprofit dedicated to backing progressive candidates. Now, Trump's former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, admitted to making the payment to Daniels in violation of the campaign finance laws. You know, he went to jail, and Donald Trump was an unindicted co-conspirator. Now, Trump has denied the affair with Daniels. And I'll just say this. If I'm Stormy Daniels, and I didn't have an affair with Donald Trump, why would you fucking tell anybody? That's got to be goddamn embarrassing. With respect to the Stormy nonsense, it's very old and happened a long time ago. Wait a minute, Donnie, you said it didn't happen. Now you're saying it happened a long time ago. Which is it? Long past the very publicly known and accepted deadline of statute of limitations. Now, Don, why are you at all concerned with the statute of limitations if it fucking never happened? This is what I mean about Trump. He fucking implicates himself. And confesses to crimes that he claimed he never fucking did. It's pretty fucking amazing to me that that they even let him talk. Why do lawyers allow him to talk? Well, they do because they can't stop him. He's like an incorrigible child. Don't do that. Go back to Dewey. Don't say twumplefuck. Well, a 3 or 4 year old will keep doing it because they find it funny and they see you laughing at it. Donald Trump is like a fucking toddler. Donald Trump will say anything that comes in his mind or out his ass and spew it right there, not thinking about whether it's going to implicate him in fucking something. Okay, so now we have the indictment. We have Donald Trump trying to incite more violence, which is not going to help him with Jack Smith and inciting the January 6th insurrection. This is going to show proof to a pattern with Donald Trump. And it's going to make the case with Jack Smith and the January 6th insurrection a lot stronger. CNN law enforcement analyst John Miller says orders have gone out from the NYPD for every cop in the city of every rank to show up in uniform tomorrow following the criminal indictment of former President Donald Trump. They're expecting the possibility of trouble in New York. News broke on Thursday afternoon that Trump has been indicted by Alvin Bragg. Wolf Blitzer said there was a conversation between Wolf Blitzer and the NYPD John Miller, the guy from NYPD. Wolf Blitzer said, "We've got some news coming in now about security preparations underway in New York City. John Miller is our chief law enforcement and intelligence analyst. He's joining us on the phone right now. You're well plugged in there, John. What are you hearing?" Well, John Miller went on to say, "Well, as of a few moments ago, a teletype went out to all NYPD commands in New York City, ordering that all members of the department, no matter what their rank or assignment, show up in uniform tomorrow. So clearly, the NYPD is preparing to have all its options open in the case to have to, if they have to mobilize a large number of police officers. Right now, as they're scanning, they're not seeing any plans for any major protest, but that could change overnight because the news is very fresh. I told you before, I don't think we're going to see large crowds of Trump-la-fucks anywhere because they're afraid. They're bullies, so they don't walk into situations where they might think they may have a problem. They want it easy, like when Donald Trump was in office and protected him and held off the National Guard and diminished the U.S. Capitol Police. But here's what you need to know. That protection is no longer there. The people of New York aren't Donald Trump's friends. Yes, there's some pockets of Trump-la-fucks in New York, upstate New York, and in the rural parts of New York, but not New York City. Nobody likes that motherfucker in New York City. Remember what happened when a couple of the Oath Keepers were walking through Manhattan? They basically got run the fuck out of town, and maybe a little worse for wear, because New Yorkers were not taking kindly to having these insurrectionist, treasonous fucks in their town. So I don't think we're going to see anything. And the other thing to consider, too, is that the New York Police Department, with everybody in full force, is about 10 times bigger than the U.S. Capitol Police. So what do you think these Trump-la-fucks are going to get away with? Not a fucking thing. Wolf Blitzer went on to say, very fresh indeed. I know that here in Washington, when there's a real bad situation unfolding, they start mobilizing military personnel. Any talk of that in New York City? John Miller says, no, we don't do that in New York City. There's 36,000 police officers in the NYPD and large groups of them that are specifically trained to disorder control. So this is something that they would want to maintain command and control over in a linear way without bringing in outside entities, especially from outside the city government. Wolf Blitzer says, yes, so the manpower in New York is significant, so it's going to be a little tense at least the next few days. Is that right, John? Miller says, well, I think what you're going to have is the watching. I mean, the Intelligence Bureau will be looking at social media to see what's gathering any kind of numbers around demonstrations that people say they're going to attend. They'll be looking at groups, of course, because, you know, we learn lessons from January 6 groups like the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, and so on. But I think that they're going to deploy precaution at least, you know, around the courthouse for two important dates. One will be tomorrow, when this announcement is possibly going to come out publicly because it hasn't been officially announced as yet. And the second day, which will be the real challenge, will be at whatever time the district attorney and lawyers for Donald Trump arrange for him to surrender. And that's when I think, given past experience, the former president's statements and the statements of at least one of the attorneys seems like the day that would see a larger crowd. So today is the one day that they're particularly concerned about. Now, all of a sudden, everybody has heard that Donald Trump will be indicted. Whether there's an official statement or not, the fact is the news is out. Everybody knows. And we know that Trump-la-fucks are upset about it. But the question is, what will they do about it? We're not going to see anything like January 6th. Now, I'm putting myself on a ledge here because I'm recording this at about midnight, 12:30, on Friday morning. I'm saying nothing's going to happen. Now, I could be wrong. I doubt I'm wrong, given the facts. But if I'm wrong, I will state that, and hopefully the New York Police Department will be able to handle the situation and get it under control if necessary. But the next one, when Donald Trump comes to town, that might be a little different circumstance because their Lord and Savior will be returning to the scene of the crime, if you will. And you might get more people out just to get a glimpse of their Lord and Savior. But I still think it's going to be hard-pressed to see large groups of people causing trouble. It's not going to go well in New York. It's not the same as what happened on January 6, 2021. It's vastly different. So I don't expect to see that. But they're going to prepare and they're going to be careful because guess what? January 6th, they learned some things. And they're going to try to shut things down before it gets out of hand, like on January 6th, 2021. So we'll see what happens. I'm not expecting a great amount of problems. There will be some loner crazies here and there. And we'll see. Of course, we'll do the podcast for tomorrow, too, and we'll be able to recap what, in fact, happened today. But can you imagine Donald Trump, when this news gets out, he's ready for his people to fight for him. And when nobody does jack shit, how's that going to make Donald Trump feel? He's going to be a lost little fucking puppy. And he's not going to know what to do because getting these people together and getting them to fight for him is all he's got right now. Now, we'll wrap things up here. Former President Trump is in an unprecedented situation. No former president or existing president has ever been indicted before. And this comes from Maggie Haberman, for whatever reason, has had an inside track to Donald Trump since 2015. And she said, largely because this is the first time he's had effectively no control over his legal situation. In fact, she said it caught them all by surprise. And that's an important statement. And here's why. When you're dealing with narcissists, they're able to manipulate and control everything. That is absolutely necessary to them. If they can control the narrative, if they can control whatever the situation is, they feel they can slip out of it. But this will be an unusual and foreign situation to Donald Trump because now his control has been taken away. And Jake Tapper said, an historic night. And Haberman said, it certainly is, and a busy one. Look, there's so much that we don't know, and I know that we have been saying a version of that for many, many weeks. But I would just like to remind people that the word that the people supporting Trump were putting out yesterday was fanning the flames of reports of the grand jury was out for a month. So I think there's a lot of twists to take on this. You remember a lot of the Trump-la-fucks said, Donald Trump said, well, they're probably going to drop the case. I've had many Trump-la-fucks come to me on TikTok and say, didn't you hear, you idiot? They dropped the case. And I said, no, they didn't. And clearly, I was right again. He is now going to go through the process of getting arrested, and I think that that is going to be much more jarring for him than I think people realize. I've been told that he has been briefed on what that will look like. It will involve fingerprinting. It's going to be unlike normal arraignment because he's going to have Secret Service. And this is going to look very different. This is somebody who has spent more than four decades trying to avoid being arrested or being indicted. And so this is really a scary moment for him, despite whatever he says. Now, you talk to different people tonight, you hear he's fine. You talk to others who say that he is very angry. I expect that we will be hearing all of those emotions going in various ways for the coming days. I don't know what the fallout is going to be politically. Furthermore, Haberman said, I think this is the first time that I can think of where he cannot control the situation. And that is the one thing that is going to drive a narcissist fucking nuts. So that means, what is Donald Trump going to do? I don't think there's going to be large crowds of Trump-la-fucks helping him. But what is he going to do? How is he going to fuck this up? He is certainly going to fuck it up because he always fucks it up. He was able to control impeachment in some ways because Mitch McConnell was on his side in the Senate trial, because House Republicans were on his side. He was even able to control the second impeachment to some extent with the Mueller report and the investigation. He was never going to get indicted as a sitting president, and I think that he has an overconfidence in his ability to impact events by intimidation tactics, by pushing out headlines. This is now in the hands of whatever judge he draws and what the voters think. And what I've heard about the judge, he's a pretty straight-laced, fair judge. So that's probably not going to work well for Donald Trump. One last thing. Former Vice President Mike Pence joined most Republicans Thursday in casting doubt on Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's motives in the indictment of Donald Trump. It's purely political. No, he actually committed crimes, and Alvin Bragg is just doing his fucking job. The former president was indicted on more than 30 counts. Again, think about that. That can't be just the Stormy Daniels thing. First court appearance is Tuesday. I think the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage, and it appears to millions of Americans be nothing more than a political prosecution that's driven by a prosecutor who literally ran for office on a pledge to indict the former president. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Didn't they say the very same thing about Letitia James? They're saying, how dare they indict somebody at the level of Donald Trump, simply because he fucking committed the crimes. Well, that goes to what they always say, what Donald Trump has always said, no one is above the law. So in spite of your lofty position, you too are not above the law. But apparently he thinks it's different with him. Well, Donald Trump is learning that very valuable lesson that we always talk about. Fuck around and find out. We got Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis kissing Donald Trump's ass. Not because they like Donald Trump. They fucking hate Donald Trump. But they're scared to death of MAGA. And MAGA is such a small percentage of this country, they can't win elections. How is it they're able to push their intent on these fucks? Not because they're so strong. It's because Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence are so fucking weak. Therein lies the problem. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for spending the time to listen. It's a banner day on the Rational Boomer podcast. After all this time, we finally have an indictment of that dirty diaper Donnie Trump, that dipshit motherfucking treasonous piece of shit. All right. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.